Samir goes to Szymanski. Alex sees Jax Jones. Where to disco in San Francisco? Tomorrowland winter lineup revealed. And much more on this week's episode of Beyond the Beats. Let's get it. What's up, listeners of Beyond the Beats? Thank you for joining us for episode 32. It's great to be chatting in your ear canals yet again. For those of you that are just joining us, this is a podcast about EDM news and culture. My name is Alec Prieto and I'm out here in the beautiful, gorgeous Bay Area. And I've got Samir over in the urban jungle that is New York City. Samir, how are you doing this week?
My man. I am doing fantastic. Listeners, what up? Thank you guys so much for joining us for another episode. Dude, I am stoked right now. You already know why I'm stoked, and I'm excited to talk about it, but my stoke level is at an all-time high right now.
I know, man. I mean, you've just been doing so much this week. It's been unbelievable. What a great week for the podcast, too. It's been just a lot of great things happening. So I'm just really glad that we're able to continue talking to you guys, and just thank you for all the support and all the love that everyone's been giving us. It really means a lot to us, and I know we say that all the time, but we genuinely mean it. But before we get into this week's show, we're going to go ahead and give you my one track that is on repeat. I've been playing this absolute banger of a house track all week long. Take a listen, you'll hear it building up right now. This is Walker and Royce with Vanessa for The Business.
The Business.
Damn, dude, this song just gave me like a 5-year kind of business plan, you know what I mean? Just freaking from ideas to, you know, to launch to hypercare. I mean, the whole nine yards, dude. This song is truly the business, man. First of all, let's just quickly say this EP from Walker and Royce,
yes,
and Vanessa is fuego, dude. It is absolute fire. It was released on Diplo's label, Higher Ground, which, Alec, as you know, but listeners, you might not know, after we finish recording this podcast, I'm going to head over to the Brooklyn Mirage to go catch Diplo do a Higher Ground showcase, man. Very, very stoked to hear what he's got up his sleeve, and Walker and Royce is going to be there. And this song, let me just quickly talk about this song, is a house slapper, dude. Four to the floor, going to have everybody moving. The feet are shuffling. I can already see it right now. Alec, tell me about your love for this song, dude.
Wow. First of all, very jealous of you for being able to go to this Diplo show right after recording. I mean, wow, that's just going to be an amazing experience. And I've never seen Walker and Royce, so I've
Me
always
neither.
Wanted to. Yeah, right? Like, it's just the group that I've just really always have wanted to see. I know that they've had pretty close ties with Chris Lake and things like that, so, and people like that. So definitely, if you haven't heard of Walker and Royce, definitely check them out. You can find a link to them in our show notes. But there's something about this song, just it's the creativity, right? So it's not just regular house or bass house music. They just throw in a bunch of different samples and things. And that's what I love about this. But, it doesn't break up the flow or the rhythm of the track, right? And that's what I really appreciate about this. Absolutely love this track. I've been playing it nonstop, literally. This has really been a true on-repeat song for me this week.
Nice, man. Nice.
All right. So now that we've got the on-repeat out of the way, let's just do a quick overview of today's show. We've got a lot of stuff going on, a lot of great new music, because we've got new music from artists that we're watching. Koos, the song Magma, man, French house people, they just keep on releasing absolute fire. We had Rachel on last week's episode, if you remember, Rachel Narazniak. If you haven't listened to it, definitely take a listen to that episode. It was awesome having her on. Shout out to her for introducing us to Kayvon, because he just actually came out with his EP, a transformation EP, and we're definitely going to talk about that, because there's some great things to talk about with that song. And then our man, Cold War, our pal.
Cold War.
Whoa. Yes, he is just an absolute monster in the studio room. Again, we had an artist spotlight with him a couple months ago, so please check that out. You won't regret it because there's a fantastic mix in there. He opened up our special Beyond the Beats Sessions feature, so please check that out. But he came out with one of the songs that he dropped in there. It was an idea at the time. We'll talk about that. There's also new music we'll be covering from Chris Lorenzo, Party Favor, Dylan Francis, Dom Dollar, Side Piece, Armin Van Buuren, and Ben Bohemer. This is just an amazing, amazing lineup of just new music from this week. Delving into our EDM news and culture section, as I mentioned on the top of the show, I talk about my experience seeing Jax Jones in San Francisco. Samir goes to see Illenium at MSG and Oddmob in the same night at Szymanski. Wow, he's got a lot of great stories to tell you from that. Talk about EDC Las Vegas and how it's already sold out. Tomorrowland and, unfortunately, Noisia splitting up. Oh, it's just a bad, horrible news. Getting into it, Samir has got yet another anti-plur lined up from you. He's been feeling real tight about a couple things, so he's really looking forward to ranting on that. Then we're going into the staples of this show. Listeners who have been with us from the beginning will know that these are our two favorite sections. It's the What Are We Listening To section, where we pick and review a couple tracks or an EP, and then we go into the artist that we're watching section, where we have picked two fantastic artists. I mean, we always say this every week, but genuinely, there's so much talent out there that you can pick two artists, amazing artists every week. These are up and comers, so put them on your radar after we talk about them. Right, man, we got a lot to get through, so let's get cracking. New music from artists that we're watching. Let's talk about Koos with his new track Magma. Samir, give us your thoughts, lay it on us.
Dude, Magma is like the perfect way to describe this song. All right, straight up fire burning house music. Yes. Too hot to touch. Guys, wear some gloves if you're about to freaking listen to this song, man. Before you hit that play button, wear some goddamn gloves. Put some oven mitts on because this song is hot. Is coming back with his crazy French house sound. He likes to go a little bit darker, and you're going to hear those kind of dark, gritty elements, but that's what we love about this guy, Koos, man. Magma, perfect showcase of what he's all about. Plus, on top of that, this record was signed to Confessions, man. Chami's label. All right? This guy. Guys, listen, listeners. You know, we got Chami. We got Mala. All right? We got DJ Snake from the Part of My French crew. We also got Mercer as well. Listen to me right now. Koos, you might be seeing Koos part of that squad. I have a feeling, man.
Yes, definitely.
I think Chami is really, really enthralled with Koos, but Koos has already done a Confessions mix for him. I think it was like last year, and now more records are being signed to Confessions label by Koos. I mean, this is just crazy shit. Alec, what'd you think?
I couldn't agree with you more, man. This is an absolute fire of a house track. Koos has just been really hot right now. I mean, as you said, clearly Chami, he's caught Chami's eyes, and when you catch Chami's eyes and you putting out consistently banger tracks on his label Confession, then you know you're going places and you're doing something right. And Koos, you're doing everything right at the moment, man. He's just, every track he's touching is gold dust. It's amazing. So I agree, man. Actually, I didn't even think about that, but I could definitely see Koos being like the new, you know, the rookie to that squad, the French house squad, Mercer, Marla, Chami, and DJ Snake, we have to give a shout out to as well. But yeah, this is a fantastic track, man. Really loved this. And I think our listeners, if you go check this out in the show notes, you'll love it too. Right. We talked about him last week, but Kayvon, or Kayvon, however you want to pronounce it.
Kayvon.
Kayvon, yep. Right? Kayvon. Okay, good. There we go. Nailed it. he had his new EP, Transformation. It's a 3-track EP, you know, and this was different from his original tracks, right, Samir?
Yeah.
I was a little bit surprised to hear this.
Yeah, me too, dude. You know, this is awesome. This is a really cool EP. I actually like the use of the word transformation here, right?
Yes.
So in 3 tracks, we got a transformation in Kayvon, right? So track the EP opens up with Darkness. Of course, I mean, just by the name of this track, you can already tell this is going to be a dark song. This is going to go hard, right? So we're seeing that harder side of Kayvon, right? Then we move into the song Invasion. Invasion, I thought, was really, really cool, Alec. Warning.
Ah.
I know I was texting you about it, but one thing I really liked about this song is that I feel like it had some kind of early O.O.'s, like, rap hip-hop samples that we used to hear. You know what I mean? Like, remember that Lil Jon?
Yeah.
Lil Jon, like, hey, hey, hey. Like, that sample. Like, yeah. We heard that in there. We heard some, like, this kind of alarm. You know, listeners, you guys just got to listen to this song. I mean, if you know the sound, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about, right? So we got Darkness into the song Invasion, which was really, really cool. And then the EP ended with the song Light. Of course, you can already tell it's ending on a lighter note. Transformation. That's what this EP is all about. We got Kayvon transforming into different types of styles, and I really like that. Alec, what'd you think?
Yeah, you know, this is, if you've heard of Kayvon before, you'll know that he's got this very melodic, you know, almost future-based type of sound. And this was really a step away from that, which was really, really interesting to see, because, you know, we love his original sound, we do, but this is, just as the EP is titled, it is a transformation of his sound. And I think I could 100% see all of these songs fitting very nicely into one of his sets, right? I mean, this reminds me almost of how when Seven Lions does this, and I know we chatted about this offline, Samir, where Seven Lions is really able to manipulate the energy in a room or the festival stage really well by having these uplifting tracks and then going, you know, dark and dirty with some heavy drops. And I can see Kayvon kind of doing the same thing here with these songs, particularly Invasion, right? You know, sets aside, I think these tracks in of themselves are very, very well done. They're creative. It's using samples from the early OOs, as we just talked about. And it's just, it's really nice to see him progressing his sound and adding some, you know, definitely more original sounds to his, you know, portfolio of songs.
Totally.
Right. So shout out to Kayvon for doing a really, really solid job with this one.
Alec, real quick, what's your favorite song off this EP?
I will have to go with Invasion. I will have to say.
Nice. Yeah, that's definitely that was up there for me. I'm gonna have to go with Darkness on this one.
Darkness,
I really like that track.
Nice. All right. Listeners, you know what? This is actually a good time. If you liked any particular track on this, tweet at us, DM us, comment on one of our posts, just let us know what your thoughts are. We really, really do want to hear what you're thinking. But man, I'm sorry, I had to jump ahead a little bit before because I really want to talk about this song.
Yes.
But
do it.
Cold Wall with his song Implicata. Is that how I think that's how he's going to want to say it. Yes, nailed it. Score one for me. Dude, when I heard this song in the mix that he did for Beyond the Beat Sessions, I was like, wow, this song is an absolute banger. It's just this, it just goes so hard. But yeah, it's just got that just real soul to it. You know what I mean? It's got some real emotion and passion in it. You can really feel it. It's not one of those songs that just goes kind of just randomly hard, right? Like, it really tells almost a story to it. And I absolutely love this track. And I'm so glad that he released this one because I've been waiting for it. I'm not gonna lie.
Cold Wall, I'm talking to you right now, my friend. Are you listening? I have been waiting, and Alec has been waiting as well. We have been waiting for this fucking song to come out for so long. I'm so happy that this song is finally out, man. Seriously, listeners, I mean, we can't encourage you guys enough to please check the show notes and listen to this song, Implicata, by Cold Wall. Because, Alec, you put it perfectly, man. Like, this song goes fucking hard, right? This song really goes hard. However, there's a lot of really great elements in here, and the song always maintains its soul. That's such a perfect way to say it, Alec. I really love that. Like, it always maintains its soul, and it keeps the energy up, and it just keeps driving forward. I've been listening to this song nonstop. Like, if there was an on-repeat, like, if I took the on-repeat this week, this would be the song for me.
Ooh.
I love this song. Dude, I was even doing an on-repeat with the song when we had the mix. You know what I mean? Like, I seriously, seriously love this song a lot. I'm so happy that it's finally out.
Yeah, me too, man. So thank you, Cold Wall, for blessing all of us by dropping that track. I mean, it's just fantastic. And listeners, if you haven't, again, we talked about it earlier, but if you haven't checked out the artist spotlight we did with him and the Beyond the Beat Sessions mix he did for us, please check it out. You're not going to regret it. It's an awesome conversation and an even better mix. Right.
Totally.
My man, delving into our new music section for this week. Party Favor and Nonsense came out with a collab called Gasoline. What did you think?
Dude, trap is back, baby.
Hell
trap
yeah.
Trap is back. And nice. You know what? You know, we've talked about this. Party Favor for me, I was cooling on Party Favor for a little bit, but this has really reignited my interest
Good.
In Party Favor. I
Excellent.
Really like this song a lot, dude. Like, this seriously threw it back for me, man. But it threw it back, but also kept it modernized. And I really hope we hear more trap bangers like this. Alec, what'd you think?
I agree, man. I mean, his past releases actually, for me, have been pretty solid. And I think he's going... What's really neat about Party Favor, right, is that he's doing trap, but it's not like the trap kind of with Boombox Cartel or people like that, where people might be turned off because it goes a little bit too hard for them, right? Like, this is almost,
right.
It goes hard. Don't get me wrong, it's heavy, but I don't know how he does it. He's balancing it just enough where people who are kind of want to hear more of that, I don't know, how do you describe it? Maybe bounce trap type of thing where it's a little bit lighter, right? That they can still get down to it too, but he gives it enough oomph to make people like you and I, Samir, interested in this. So absolutely love this track. Shout out to Nonsense too. I know we haven't really talked about Nonsense on the show, but I know people like Valentino Khan are big fans of Nonsense. And yeah, I tell you what, I'm going to start listening to a little bit more after this track too of Nonsense. Have you really looked too much into Nonsense at all?
No, I haven't, man. But, you know, I think that this track is going to put Nonsense on my radar now. Yeah, I'm pretty about this song.
Yeah, me too, man. So great collab from them. Shout out Party Favor. You got Samir back in your corner. That's always a good thing. Exactly, man. But all right, moving onwards. We've got Boombox Cartel with the song Whip, but the remix from Chris Lorenzo. This one came out of nowhere. I didn't even know he was dropping this.
Yeah, this was odd. I feel like this is such a weird song for Chris Lorenzo to kind of tackle. You know what I mean? Like, even the original Whip is a strange song, you know, just in general. I don't know. I'm okay on that song, just the original, but actually I think Chris Lorenzo gave it a little... I think Chris Lorenzo's take on it made me like it a little bit more. Alec, what did you think?
Yeah, so it's interesting you say that. It is a bit of an odd take on it, but you know what? I love it. I love it because
nice.
It's different, and you could just see him having fun with this. Like, this is just one of those ones where he's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go after it and just remix something into a bassline song that just should not be a bassline song, but it is.
Yeah, totally.
He makes it. And it works. I think it works. You know, it's not going to be my most favorite song, but I could just, you know, but that's the thing when you watch him, he's just having fun. And this is one of those songs where it's just kind of fun where it's like, you know what? Fuck it. Why not? And he pulls it off. So hat off to him, man. I mean, you've got to give him some props for it. He pulls it off. So I think this is more one of those tracks where it was not really, I don't know, I don't want to be saying this because if he's really, you know, taking this very seriously and very stern about this remix.
Like Alec from Beyond the Beast.
Like Alec from Beyond the Beast, you got this completely wrong. I'm so serious about this.
He's banned from the rest of my shows for the rest
no,
of his life.
No, don't do that. Chris Lenz, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Don't ban me from your shows, please. But yeah, so all jokes aside, I think this one is not too much of a serious release for him, where it's just kind of just, you know, he's just showing his skills. I mean, it's pretty impressive, actually. I would never have thought that someone could turn this into a bassline song ever. Would never have thought that. And
totally
he did it.
Agree.
He did it somehow. But
oh man.
Props to him. All right. Listen, let's give us your feedback on that one. We'd really be interested, particularly with that song. Dylan Francis, TV Noise, and Big Freedia teamed up for Bawdy. What do you think?
Is it Bawdy or is it like body? Like Cardi?
You know, this is the issue, is that just with my accent, I don't think I could try pull off the American version of it. So I'm just going to say it like how I would normally say it.
Yeah.
But, you know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But go on, give us your thoughts.
Moomba's back.
Yeah.
Dylan Francis is at the forefront of bringing Moomba back. You know what I mean? And I like it. This is not his only Moomba release from this year. You know, I believe he had another one that we talked about a couple of weeks on the show. But Bawdy is this is a cool song, man. I really like it a lot. And I just, man, I miss Moomba so much.
I know you do.
I can't even begin to tell you how much I missed it, man. I've been listening to Dylan Francis since like 2011. You know what I mean? So like the fact that now he's kind of reigniting those roots of where he came from, I really like this a lot. And dude, Moomba gets the booties shaking, dude. He gets my booty shaking. Like, I'm so glad that we're seeing this again.
Yeah, me too, man. I knew that that's what you were going to say. Maybe not the booty shaking part, but I knew that you were going to be excited that there's more Moomba back
out. You've seen my booty
shake.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't know if anyone wants to see that, but Yeah, Moonbaton, man, I'm about it. Glad to see, as you said, that Dylan Francis is getting back to his roots. Really great release. And this is his, is it his second one with TV Noise? Did he release EDM O'Clock?
Yeah, because he did EDM O'Clock. And let's also not discount TV Noise as well. Alec, I don't think you're as big of a fan of TV Noise as much as I am. I really like their sound a lot. I really, really like TV Noise's percussion, guys. You need to check out TV Noise. You need to check out what they're doing with their take on house music, because they have their own kind of percussion that they put into it that it's just hard. It's the percussion is so fine tuned that I feel like it's hard to find in other songs. And I feel like we were getting TV Noise percussion here in the song Body as well.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, man. I actually really, in all honesty, I haven't listened too much to TV Noise. So I definitely need to check them out, because I was very impressed with this song. Really liked it. As you said, the percussion elements to this are fantastic. And I really liked EDM O'Clock too. So definitely, I'll definitely give them, you know, a little bit more of a shot. I haven't really listened too much to them. So yeah, definitely. That's a very good point, man. I'll definitely take a look more into them. But listeners, I've been hyped about talking about this song. I've been super hyped. If you were wondering why I was talking about, I'm not going to talk about Where to Disco in San Francisco. I'm going to let Dom Dollar do all the talking on that front with his new song, San Fran Disco, baby. Yeah, this was awesome. I loved this track. And I love the shout-out to it. Shout-out to him. He's big in the Bay Area, man. He's really, really big here. People were listening and, you know, grooving out to Dom Dollar before he was really a big name. And he's still not, I would say, a huge name, but he's getting there. He certainly is building up quite a reputation. I don't know, what's the reception to him like on the East Coast, out of interest?
Alec, I feel like we haven't seen Dom Dollar all that much out here on the East Coast. However, I will say this. I saw him at Izu, and he had the whole tent moving. It was like a 4 p.m. set, dude. The sun was still up, but man, everybody was just getting down, man. Like, I've never seen so many shufflers before, like, in one tent. It was amazing. I really think Dom Dollar has really, like, made a very good name for himself, or at least kickstarted a very great reputation for himself after his Izu set. Dude, I'm loving, like, the passion for this song, San Francisco, but Dom Dollar, Where's the New York City version, dude?
I don't know. I don't know if there's a fun pun that he could put on that one. So maybe that's the reason why. But yeah, I mean, I love the fact that he's given San Francisco a shout out there, because I know he's got a lot of fans out here, and I think he knows it too. And that's awesome. Yeah. I really like to see that. And it's an awesome song. It's aside from like the cool shout out to the city.
Yeah, it is.
It's a great song.
Totally agreed with you, man. This, as jealous as I am that we don't have a New York City version of this, this is actually a very good song.
Well put, man. Well put. This is it's a fantastic, fantastic track. So listeners, again, take a listen to that. And if you're San Francisco, just go out to it. Definitely. You won't regret it. Right. Armin van Buuren teams up with Inner City for It Could Be. What do you think, man? I'm really interested to get your take on this one.
Is this even Armin? Like, what the fuck was this? Like, it doesn't sound like him at all. Listeners, sorry. Excuse my hot take. I know we have a lot of Armin fans out here for the show. But guys, I mean, let's be real here. This does not sound like Armin at all.
Yeah, I would agree. I wasn't.
It's a good song, though.
It's a good song.
It's a good song.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's like.
I was about to say, it doesn't sound like him. Yeah, it doesn't sound like him at all. I was very surprised when I listened to this. It was really not what I was expecting at all. Do you have any background to the song? I feel like there's a story behind
it. I have no background.
Yeah,
I have no story, no background about it at all. Like, I don't know. This is like the first time I've ever heard this song, like, in any sets or anything. Like, maybe he's kind of kept this one kind of under the wraps. But like I said, it doesn't sound like Armin. And I know Armin has also been getting away from his, like, trance roots, except for when he does, like, a State of Trance sets. I know he goes really deep into the roots again. But I know, like, in terms of his main stage sets, he gets away from it a little bit. This song, it just doesn't sound like Armin, but I actually do think this is a good song.
I agree. I'm glad that you think it's a good song too, because I genuinely believe that this is a good song. I was surprised, just like you were. I think it's a solid track, man. I really think it's a solid track. So definitely, listeners, take a listen to it. You'll see what we're talking about when we say it doesn't sound like your typical Armin song. I'll definitely do a little bit more digging. I'd like to see if there's some context on the song. Yeah, definitely. But man, take this away, because, you know, I was very shocked when you put this on our show notes. What are you putting on here that I was a little bit shocked by?
Yeah, well, Alec, I mean, you already know that when we were talking about our Izu kind of tour around the Randall's Island, we had to give a mention to Ben Bomare, right? And he just released a new song. It's called Breathing, that he did with Nils Hoffman. And Malu. And so Malu, yeah, dude, I really like Ben Bomero a lot, man. Like, it's not the kind of music where you're gonna be shuffling. It's definitely not headbanging music. It's house music, but it's like very, very laid back. Not necessarily lo-fi house music, but it's like, it is progressive house music, but it's also like a bit more laid back than progressive house music as well. You know what I mean? It's very light.
I like that. That's a good way to describe it. Yeah.
And I think Ben Bomero has done a really good job of like honing in on his sound. And I really like this song a lot, man. I think that every single element, like, and I talked about this with the song that we had mentioned at the Izu episode, every element comes together really nicely, including the lyrics in this song. And I really, really like what Ben Bomero is doing here. However, I don't know how it would be seeing him live. Unfortunately, I'm very upset about this. I did not get a chance to see him at Izu. I did not get to the venue in time for that. But, you know, it's just, I don't know how this would translate live. I feel like if you're really into, like, chill progressive house music, chill house music, then you'd really like this a lot. I've never experienced anything like that, though. Alec, what do you think?
Yeah, interesting point there, man. You know, I'd be very interested to see him live, too. You know, but thank you again for putting Ben Bomero on my radar, because I do really like him as well. Nice. I'm definitely about it, and I'm about this track too. I'd be very intrigued to see what he's like live. I will say that. But this is a solid track. It's a really great release, and I'm glad to see that, you know, he's riding the wave from Izu, you know, and being totally able to play there. So shout out to Ben Bomero and Nils Hoffman and Malu too. Definitely, you know, I'll definitely check them out a little bit too. I haven't heard of them before.
Yeah, no, this is good. Good new music, man. Good
Hell
new
yeah,
music.
Man. Always. There's always great new music going on. Listeners, if there's any songs that you would like us to feature talk about on the show that we haven't mentioned, please reach out. We would love to see what you guys are listening to as well and what new music is on your radar. Right.
Totally.
My man, delving into the world of EDM news and culture. I'll kick it off this week by talking about my experience going to see the man, the legend, Jax Jones in San Francisco. Now, if you listen to a past episode, you would have known that I'm a big, big fan of Jax Jones, and so is Samir, which is just great to see as well. But, you know, I think he's just a stand-up guy, proper good lad, and he just has a fantastic, fantastic time. You know, when you see him live, it's just this energy that he puts into the room. When you listen to his individual songs, you may not think that this is someone that you'd necessarily, you know, feel the energy with when you see it live. Like, the fantastic tracks individually, they're awesome songs, but you might be thinking, I don't really see how he's gonna be mixing this in. But I tell you what, he does an unbelievable job of it. And when you hear these songs, right, when you hear them played out on big loud speakers, proper club speakers, it really brings out all the different elements and layers to the song. And that's why, Samir, man, I wish you were able to see it with me, because the songs are almost, they just pack a lot more of a punch. Like, you know, he's mastered these and his team has mastered them so well that when you hear them out over on the big speakers, man, it's another world, and it's awesome. And he just knows, he has incredible song selection. Right, his track selection is fantastic. He really knows how to keep the energy going. And it's not something that you necessarily always be shuffling to and is really, really hype, but he just has a great vibe to it, man. And everyone's smiling, everyone's 1-2-step, and everyone's moving all the time, singing along. You know, this is, if you have to go see an artist, if you weren't really into electronic music before, you haven't had too much experience with it, or if you just wanted to start getting a little bit more into house music, go see Jax Jones. He'll change your mind about it. He'll put you onto house music, and he'll put you onto electronic music if you've never really been into it before. It's just the vibes and the energy is great, and their track selection's on point. And the songs are house music songs, yes, but again, if you're not really into electronic music, you'll be able to get into it by listening to tracks like these, because it has, you know, he's got people like Dua Lipa, right, you know, doing the vocals for his songs. So these are people that you would have heard the vocals before, people who, you know, more poppy, right? But he's able to put the house spin on it, and he spins absolute masterclass at his shows. So great, great show, Jax. I know that he was opening up for Zedd at Bill Graham Civic Auditorium in San Francisco as well. But I got to catch him at, one of my favorite clubs here in San Francisco, Audio. And it was just a great, intimate atmosphere where he's right there. You know, he's, you know, dapping people up at the front, which was awesome. He's having a good time, like chatting to people. Might have poured out a couple drinks for some people too. He's just a good time, man. He's just a really good time. And yeah, Jax, he just absolutely crushed it again. So thank you for a great show.
Dude, I'm really, really pumped to hear that, man. And I'm so bummed that I've never seen Jax Jones before live. You know, I showed this album to my girlfriend, the Snack Supersize album. Dude, she loves it.
Yes,
she
nice.
Is really all about it. It's her on repeat, man. And she's all about it, which I love because my girlfriend isn't necessarily like the biggest EDM head.
Right.
But like Alec had said, this is perfect for folks who don't really know too much about EDM. They want like a nice step into it. Jax Jones' music is for EDM enthusiasts and non-EDM enthusiasts alike. You know, I'm really, really happy to hear that was a good time. And he just seems like such a good dude. I mean, we talked about it when he did his Tequila Time outro, you know, the last track on his Snack Supersize album. And he just sounds like such a cool person, man. I'm really hoping that, he's out here in New York sometime soon. He actually just posted something on his Instagram story of him, like, arriving in New York, which is really, really odd because I tried to see if he's playing anywhere. Maybe he's just on vacation. I'm not really too sure what's going on. But, so hopefully, you know, I'm able to catch him sometime soon.
Maybe he's doing a surprise set somewhere. I don't know.
Dude, if he shows up at the Higher Ground party, I'm going to lose my freaking mind.
Oh, no. I didn't even think about that.
I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm just saying.
Uh-oh. Diplo, come on. Bring him on board.
I don't know.
We'll have to see, man. But, you know, I wasn't the only one that had an awesome time and saw some awesome performances over the weekend. Samir, my man, tell us about your weekend. I mean, talk about an action-packed weekend full of great performances. Who'd you go see?
Dude, this has been a crazy, crazy weekend. And listeners, if you guys follow the Instagram at btb.pod, you know, I was posting some stuff up on the story, just kind of talking about my weekend and what it's entailing. But, dude, last night I got a chance to see Illenium at Madison Square Garden. He did his Ascend tour, you know, so he is currently touring the new album. It was a live show, had a guitarist, two drummers up there, you know, keyboardists, you know, singing. He was playing the guitar. Dude, I got to say, I was a bit apprehensive about like what a big massive EDM concert or show would look like at Madison Square Garden, because I don't know if you remember, but a couple weeks ago, maybe actually a month and a half to 2 months ago, I saw Pentatonix, like the acapella group there,
right?
And I wasn't really like all that impressed, you know, with the show. I thought the crowd vibe was kind of lacking, and I was like, okay, maybe this you can just kind of chalk it up to like what a stadium concert looks like, you know what I mean? I'm so used to like the warehouses, I'm so used to like the EDM clubs that I guess maybe this is what the stadium looks like. I could not have been more wrong, dude. I mean, seriously.
Nice.
Illenium at Madison Square Garden was a real, real treat. They put some serious, serious production in there, man. Fireworks, pyro, tons of lasers, tons of lighting. The sound was immaculate. The floor was nonstop moving. People in the stands were nonstop moving. It was honestly an amazing, amazing experience. And guys, if you get a chance to, if Illenium is coming to your city, go and see this show, because one thing that Illenium is known for is that he puts out some crazy edits of his songs and crazy mashups of his music, and he is debuting some fantastic edits and live mashups of his songs, old and new, so stuff before the Ascend album and on this current album as well. And it was just so well done, dude. I was really, really impressed. His team put together an amazing show. Dude, speaking of his team, all right, I met his manager, Guy.
Wow.
That's his name. Is that just Guy? Like, his name is Guy.
He's a good guy.
He is a really good guy.
That's,
I mean,
awesome.
Seriously, he was such a pleasure to talk to, man. I can't even begin to tell you. Like, Illenium, I think, puts out a lot of really great music, and I think, you know, it has like, it's just very vibey music, and Guy gives off some great, great vibes. He was such a pleasure to talk to, and it was really cool to just hear about, you know, him coming up with Illenium, man. I mean, he has been with Illenium since before Illenium was huge. You know what I mean? So now, I mean, Illenium is playing in Madison Square Garden, and, you know, Guy has been representing him for a long, long time. It was really, really cool. I also got a chance to talk to Dabin. So Dabin was the first act at Madison Square Garden. He was the first act at Madison Square Garden, and he was also the guitarist for Illenium for quite some time. And actually, listeners, I got a chance to talk to him about how he balances, you know, his own music career and also being the guitarist for Illenium as part of the band. So take a listen to this.
You have your own career. You're on tour with Illenium. How do you balance it all, man?
Yeah, it's kind of just, it's difficult to find time sometimes, and especially with like me and Trevor, Said the Sky, As our careers are getting, you know, taken off, it becomes harder and harder to find time to allocate for, you know, Nick stuff. So this might be one of the last times that we're all able to tour together as a band like this. So, you know, we're more than happy to just, like, allocate some of our time for Nick. And Nick has big ambitions, and we're really happy to, like, be a part of his dream like that. So,
absolutely. Yeah. Dude, thank you so much for your time, man. And thank you so much for such an amazing show, too. We genuinely appreciate it. It was an absolutely amazing experience.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely.
Oh, man, that's awesome. You know, I got to tell you, man, it's great to hear because Darbin really is taking off on his own right. So I could totally understand why, you know, that he's deciding that this is going to be the last time that he's going to be touring with Illenium. But it's great to see that the friends and that he's been able to...
Oh, yeah, they go way back.
This is awesome, man. Well, I'm so glad that you got to catch up with him. That's great to hear that, you know, he's looking forward to his career and future too.
Totally, man, totally. And, you know, just capping off my time at Madison Square Garden, I actually got a chance to talk to Matt Medved. So, guys, yeah, this is a treat because I've been, you know, kind of keeping my eyes on Matt Medved and what he's been up to in a non-stalkery kind of way, just online. He is the founder of Billboard Dance, which is just massive. I mean, it's so cool to see that he was at the forefront of kind of propagating a massive dance outlet, like a dance news outlet. So that was really cool. And now he's the editor-in-chief of Spin. So, you know, I got a chance to talk to him about, like, what it was like to kind of start his own dance publication. So, guys, take a listen to this short clip from my time with Matt Medved.
First of all, thank you so much for taking your time out of your day to speak to us, man. But let me ask you, how does it feel to start one of the biggest dance music publications of our scene? How does it feel?
Well, thank you, Samir. It's great to be here. Beyond the Beats, yeah, great to be here. You know what? Like, it's an interesting question because it's one of those things. Honestly, I've always been a very forward-facing person. So I actually really appreciate questions like this because they force me to actually look back and reflect and think about it because it has been actually a really crazy ride. I remember, you know, a lot of people don't realize that, but prior to Billboard Dance, Music, Spin, all of that, I worked in NGOs and nonprofits. I was actually working for a conflict resolution NGO in Nigeria and working on conflict transformation programs there. And music was always my outlet. You know what I mean? Like, I would always go and, like, I would DJ on the radio in Nigeria. I would go to, you know, like, when I was doing the graduate degrees, I was like living in DC and I was opening Glow shows, like shout out Pete and Antonis on that one. But like, you know what I mean? Like I was always involved in it, but it was never like trying to make it the main thing. I was always writing about it. I was always playing. And then everything kind of rose, the waters rose. And the thing is that, sometimes something happens in your life where an opportunity presents itself to you. In this case, it was, Kerry Mason, who was the, then dance writer of Billboard, back in 2014. And she reached out to me. She cold emailed me and was like, I love your writing. Are you exclusive to Dancing Astronaut? Which is what I was writing for at the time. And got a lot of love, by the way, for all the DA guys. Like, much love for the brand. But like, you know, I was doing that on the side while I was doing like law school and like international relations, man. Like, yeah, dude, I was writing like grants to State Department.
Man, he seems like a great guy, Samir. That is amazing that you were able to catch up with him. That's great. It sounds like a great story too, just from everything that he's saying.
Dude, the thing is like, I mean, this guy, editor-in-chief of Spin, right? Founder of Billboard Dance. I was like, oh my God. I was like nervous. You know what I mean? I was like kind of fidgety. And he was one of the warmest, most receptive people I have ever met. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you. I mean, he was like, dude, I mean, like what you guys are doing, like I was in your same shoes as well. You know, like he was the only like on the Billboard Dance Facebook page. You know what I mean? Like he was the first like, you know what I mean? Like all this stuff. Like he you know, started it, man. And it's just really, really inspirational because like, you know, we have a vision that we want to extend out, you know, for how we see EDM news and culture and how we share it with other people. And he also had a similar vision for Billboard Dance as well. And so just to hear like his words and like how he got to where he is, it was a really, really wonderful conversation. And yeah, we hope to have him on the show sometime soon.
That's amazing, man. I'd love that. I'd love to chat with him too. I mean, it just seems like great story just behind things, right? I mean, he's done so much for the EDM scene from a, you know, reporting standpoint, right? And just from a more of the media side of things. It'd just be great to pick his brain on a few things. And it's, again, totally, it just sounds like a great story.
Yeah, it was really, really fun. And then, all right, so now I'm in Manhattan, right, at Madison Square Garden. I hop into my Lyft. First of all, I'm in the Lyft, and I call Alec, and I'm just absolutely buzzing because we just talked to all these great people, you know what I mean? So now I'm in the Lyft, and I get to Shemansky, which is in Brooklyn, to go and check out Oddmob. And guys, I mean, we've had Aaron Root, from on the show about maybe a couple of weeks back, I think, beginning of the summer, I want to say. And he had brought out Ika Nova for a show as part of his Lunar Lounge event promotion company. Well, guess what, guys? He is playing now. He's hosting events now at Shemansky, which is one of the biggest dance music clubs here in the New York City area. He brought out Oddmob for his first North American tour. He finished the North American tour here in New York City. He's currently, at the time of this recording, on a plane ride back. I was, just chatting with him, and you know, it was really, really cool chatting with Oddmob, dude. He is a really, really awesome and interesting guy, you know?
Nice.
Like, his career is taking off, listeners. And so, I had a nice extended conversation with him. I want to play you guys just a, small snippet of my conversation with Oddmob.
All right, listeners, I'm sitting here with Oddmob. Odd fucking Mob from Australia, dude. I don't even know what to fucking say right now. I'm so psyched right now to be sitting right next to you, to be able to talk to you. The man is ending his North America tour right here in New York City at Shemansky. Threw it down out here, man. Odd Mob. Dude, how do you feel right now? This is the end of your North America tour. Like, you're on the West Coast, now you're on the East Coast. How do you feel right now, man?
Look, it's been a fucking wild time, but I'm ready to sleep for several days. Right, just on. Dive into my bed after, a couple of days of flying home, but just dive right into bed and just sleep. Let's just say the stereotypical, like, tired DJ, that's me.
So, I mean, you've been out here in North America, you got a fucking tour going on. How many stops and how many days did you do? Let's blow the listener's mind right now. I know the answer, but let me hear your answer.
Okay, so I gotta make sure I'm not wrong on this, but I've been in America for about 3 weeks now, and I've done 8 shows. And it's not so much the amount of shows in the certain number of days, it's like, it's more to do with where you have to go at what time. So, for instance, like, to get here to New York, I finished my show in Reno at 2:30, I think. Yeah, 2:30 in the morning. Get back to the hotel maybe like 3:15 after chatting to everyone. I go to lie down. My fiance asks her, what time do we have to get up again? Like, when do we set the alarm? She's like, don't even ask.
Yeah.
Because I had to get up in half an hour. So, tiniest little catnap straight onto the plane. As most of you guys know, sleeping on a plane, so bad. So bad.
Right on.
But, I conked it the first hour and a half to Salt Lake City for the next flight. I was drooling on the guy next to me, I'm pretty sure. I think my neck has gotten so much stronger from, when you get the dips, like when you're trying to sleep upright, and as you're falling asleep, you just keep doing that, like, it's like you're listening to relaxing rhythm almost on the plane. Like, every like 30 seconds or so, head goes down, back up again. That was me for at least 3 hours.
Right.
At least 3 hours. Got some sleep, got here, drank a shitload of coffee, and I'm buzzing. Right. Probably a little bit too much. I got to fly out again tomorrow, but I'm buzzing. I had such a fucking great time here, so I'm just kind of hyped on life right now. So
right on, dude. So let me ask you, man, if you had to pick a city that was your favorite city to play in, what is that city? And you don't have to be nice to us New Yorkers. You don't have to be nice to us Californians. My co-host is in California, just so you know. What was your favorite city to play in?
Look, every city has like different things that are nice about it. Like, LA was really cool because there's just so many DJs at all these events, because, like, obviously if you're a musician, LA seems to be the place where you kind of like want to be to network. So playing in LA was crazy because it's almost like 50-50, like, crowd members, and then the other half are just like people in the industry who you know online or through social media. So that LA was pretty cool. But coming to New York,
I think New York was pretty damn special.
Nice.
Number one, because like there was a shit ton of people here, but secondly, because all the people who ran the event here are all super switched on, like super kind, and the whole city has this like, you know, that like energy
right on
about it. Like you come here and there's just, you feel like you just want to spend money. Like all the rooftop bars, like so many restaurants, like yeah, New York was really, really good. Nice. LA, New York, Dance Festopia in Kansas was like just wow. That was my first American festival, so I got to experience I got to experience Wooks for the first time. I thought it was Wooks, but yeah, Wooks.
Yeah,
that's like so different.
Right.
Like,
look, I'm not gonna take up too much of your time. I know you're exhausted from your tour, dude. I just want to ask you, what is next for Odd Mob?
So I have an album coming out like sometime early next year. So it's pretty much done now.
Nice.
14 tracks of. I don't, like this new style that I'm trying to push, I guess.
Yeah.
It could go well, it could go terribly, but like it's an album written for myself, so it's not really conforming to any trends. So the term future house,
yeah,
back in the day, it was really cool because it's such an exciting term, like it could be anything, but then it became a very specific genre. So think of the album as future house,
yeah,
or maybe alternative timeline house. Like I don't know how to describe it. Melodic, like Flume cross house cross Eric Prydz, like
I fucking love Eric Prydz. Okay, yeah. Let me tell you. Yeah,
so yeah, kind of stuff like that. Yeah, quarter one or quarter two next year it should be out. I have a new single coming out kind of sometime in October.
Thank you so much for your time, man. Genuinely appreciate it. And we can't wait to hear your next single, man, for real, and your album.
Thank you so much, man. It's been a pleasure. Absolutely.
Yeah, man, he seems like a great guy, and I tell you what, I'm really hyped and excited for this album.
I'm so stoked. I'm really, really obsessed with Odd Mob's music these days, and you guys have to follow him on Instagram, too. He is just, like, one of the funniest guys on Instagram. If you enjoy memes, like, if you enjoy, like, meme kind of humor, this is the guy for you. Just doing some crazy, crazy, wacky shit.
Love it.
Yeah. So, anyways, it's been a really, really wonderful weekend, man. And, hey, shout-out to Azor as well from Lunar Lounge. Dude, that was a really, really fun night. And, you know, we hope to have you on the show soon to talk about, you know, what is going on, you know, what's next for Lunar Lounge, even though I'm sure you're, like, sleeping all day today just from the sheer amount of stuff you had to get done last night at Szymanski. But, dude, wonderful weekend. And, you know, after we finish recording this pod, I'm going to head over to the Diplo Higher Ground Showcase at Brooklyn Mirage.
Yeah, don't rub it in, man. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, sorry to make you jealous over there, Alex.
Oh,
you get a song from Dom Dalla, I get a pretty packed weekend, so...
That's true. Fair enough. Yeah, what a weekend from you, man. Thank you for all the updates on that and from catching up with some awesome people. It was really, really great to hear that. Right. Moving onwards. I could not believe this when I saw this.
Dude.
EDC Las Vegas 2020 is completely sold out. What is going on? They built the hype up so well this year. And I think last year, too, you have to give them credit because they did a lot of hype building for last year.
Yep.
That in less than 2 days after the general sale began, it's completely sold out. It's unbelievable.
I don't know what to say. GA Plus, VIP, guys, completely sold out. I mean, wow. What are we going to do?
I don't know. I mean,
I didn't secure, you know, for me, Alec, you know how I am. I usually buy my tickets like last minute from somebody who, you know, is getting rid of their ticket. Alec, are you going to EDC this year?
We'll have to see. I'll have to see what's in store. I definitely want to, though.
Okay, cool. Because I've been formulating a squad, and there's like six people right now in the squad who are
nice.
Going. Anyways, yeah, I was shocked when I saw this news on their social media. And, you know, I think it's a couple of things kind of working in their advantage here, right? Right after EDC Vegas 2019 had ended, like a week later, they were like, all right, here we go. Tickets for EDC 2020 are on sale. All you have to do is put $10 down.
Jeez,
and then like a monthly payment of like 40 something. So like, you know, it's a very manageable payment, right? So number one, you got people coming off from EDC Vegas 2019. They're missing it. EDC is a whole magical world, man. And so now, you know, you introduce these payment plans where it's like $40 a month. You put $10 down. People are like, yeah, hell yeah, man. I had a great time at EDC Vegas 2019. You're catching that excitement, and now you're making the payment plan much easier to manage, right? So what happened in this sale that just happened this past week? All right. Well, now you can put $20 down and the payment plan is like $60 a month or something like that. You know what I mean? And so, you know, you're breaking these payments up into much more manageable chunks. The initial investment into the payment plan is very, very minimal. Like, I feel like people really utilize these payment plans this year now more than ever. Alec, what'd you think?
I agree, man. And I think it's a very smart business move from Pascal Rotella. So shout out to him. This is a very smart business play. And, you know, and it's not just for business sake, right? Like, there is a benefit to the people too. Having a great layaway plan like this, great payment plan, really does help people out who want to go. Hopefully people making fiscally responsible decisions. Yes. Hopefully. I'm hoping.
Yeah. Well, I definitely want to talk about that after you finish your point. But
okay,
yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, but this is just a great business move for them. And just as you said, when they're catching the ride and all the good vibes and positivity and some nostalgia, a bit of nostalgia too, and a bit of, you know, sadness, those post-festival blues that you get. You know, just a very smart business move from this. And so I could totally see why it's sold out now. You know, in retrospect, looking back at it, it's like, okay, this makes a lot of sense. Why? It's cool to see that there's a lot of hype being built up around this, and people really enjoying the EDC experience just as much as, you know, you and I have, Samir. So I'm interested to hear your point though. All right, let's see, about, is it about the fiscal, you know, responsibility of people with this?
I'm trying to put this delicately.
Mm.
I sometimes think that folks will kind of jump into these kinds of payment plans and these big, massive monetary commitments without maybe kind of taking a step back and thinking like, okay, can I really, really afford this, right? Because now we're talking, you got the EDC Vegas ticket, you're doing the payment plan, right? And look, I was one of those people, okay? I will say that. I was one of those people way, way, way back when I was still in college and did not have a full-time job, all right? So, you know, you're not alone out there, all right? But you jump into these payment plans, right? And now you're like, oh shit, I have to get a flight. Okay, I have to get a hotel. What else? Okay, Vegas is not a cheap city. So now food, drinks, all that stuff, it adds up very, very quickly. And I think that when it comes down to like people having to like spend the money that's around the EDC Vegas ticket, they start to realize, I can't afford this. So then, you know, what happens? Folks default on their payment plans. Now, I have a love-hate relationship with these payment plans, and I'll tell you guys why, okay? Because if you calculate the total cost of the payment plan versus just buying the ticket outright, the payment plan is slightly more expensive.
Right.
They do have a kind of payment plan layaway fee that they charge on top, if you know, on top of like buying the ticket outright. Okay. So just want to point that out there. That's why I don't like it. But I like the payment plans because it helps people break the payments up easier. And I know that these tickets are not cheap. I do get that. You know what I mean? But listeners, fret not, fellow headliners, fret not, okay? I'm not terribly concerned that I didn't get my EDC Vegas ticket just yet, because I have a feeling that a lot of people will default on their payment plans. It happens every year, okay? I'm not just, like, being an asshole. It happens every year.
It does.
And these tickets are going to come right back into the inventory, into the stock. They're going to go back on sale. So just keep an eye on what Insomniac is posting on their social media. And then on top of that, just keep an eye in terms of ticket selling pages. You know what I mean? Folks are always, you know, having to let go of their tickets for, you know, things come up. You know, people have to get rid of their tickets, and sometimes people will sell their tickets for below face value. So guys, just keep an eye. I feel like if you haven't gotten your EDC Vegas ticket, I'm in the same boat as you, and don't be too concerned. There will be tickets available for you to purchase.
Yeah, very well said, man. I agree with that. So don't fret too much. There will be tickets available at some point, man. But a very good point about that. I also am a little bit iffy about it. I can see how it does help people. But I also could see that, it's a bit of a business move here. And, you know, it's obviously they're a business, so you have to. But I do feel like, I don't know, maybe just it plays a little bit too much on the how excited people are coming after.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
EDC.
I'm trying to find the right word here. Maybe a bit predatory.
Yeah, it's hard to say, right? Because it's not outright. Like, it's not, you know, horrendous.
Yeah, because in the end, it's the person's decision to drop
the
money.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, Insomniac is presenting an option to folks, and in the end, it is up to the buyer.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. It's just, you know, it's just the timing of it all, and I guess, I don't know, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I could see why there's a lot of people who it would be absolutely fine for and it worked perfectly for, right? Totally. A lot of people who, you know, like, yeah, I could spend that, you know, however much it is, $450 or whatever it is, on it again, and they don't have to worry too much about it. But I do worry about the people who might not make the best decisions when, yeah, you know, right? Like former Samir, perhaps, as well.
College age Samir was not thinking properly when he signed up for that layaway plan and had to, like, let it go, basically.
But look, you know what? At the end of the day, though, you're right. It is the consumer's decision on it. So just be smart out there, people. Just make the right fiscal decisions for your pocket and for you. That's all it is. But otherwise, this is, you know, it is a little bit more expensive. I do get that. It's kind of like how, you know, when you lease a car versus buying it, right?
Exactly.
And you pay it off in installments. So I get why there's a little bit of a fee. It doesn't seem too egregious, though. I think it provides a lot of value for the right person. You just have to make sure that you're looking out for your wallet, essentially.
Right on. Dude, let's move into this. Now, this is never a festival that I would ever go to.
Why?
I'm just going to say that right now.
Why not?
Because I hate the cold weather. All right? I hate it. I hate it.
Come on.
It's about to be wintertime here in New York, and I am not looking forward to the winter at all. But you know what? For those of you who enjoy the beautiful, snowy landscapes, all right, we're talking about Tomorrowland Winter. Yes. Tomorrowland Winter. Alec, this is interesting.
I would 100% go to this if I could. And I definitely want to.
Are you telling me the reason why you're iffy about going to EDC Vegas is because you want to freeze your nuts off at Tomorrowland Winter? Is that what's going on? You could freeze your nuts off at EDC like we did in 2019.
Well, that was an absolute fluke, first of all. That was ridiculous.
Yeah,
I can't believe how cold it was. That was so strange.
Yeah,
that was very odd. Yeah. Very odd, you know, but yeah, I would 100% go to this, man. I mean, another winter one, this is a quick side point, but Snow Globe, I'd be interested to try out in Tahoe as well. And that's closer to home for me, so probably more realistic. But anyhow, yeah, okay, this is an interesting lineup because they're splitting off across, you know, quite a few days. So it's from March 14th to March 20th. There's a lot of really cool names on here. We see you've got Bro Hug, you've got Charlotte DeWitt, Oliver Heldens, Vinny Vici, Bass Jackers, Quintino, Armin, of course, has to be there pretty much every Tomorrowland thing you could ever imagine.
Of course.
Timmy Trumpet, Steve Aoki, Afrojack, the list goes on. Martin Garrix, you've got your favorite, Dimitri Vegas and Like Mike, Samir's favorite.
These guys are on every Tomorrowland event.
They love them, man.
This is why I will never go to a Tomorrowland event, okay?
Oh, God.
I just really strongly dislike these guys. I do.
I don't know what to say after that. Negative on the festival,
okay,
then you're like that choice
to derail
the
conversation.
All right, man. Well, this is just a shit conversation. No, I'm kidding. it's like, all right. The lineup is cool. It's not as stacked as I'd like it, though, actually. I like it, but I feel like it's missing a few things.
I think that they could have done a better job of promoting more techno.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean? I like, obviously, we got the likes of Art Bat on here. You know, we mentioned, I believe, Charlotte DeWitt.
Yeah.
You know, so we got some people on here. Sometimes I feel like Tomorrowland just, they have the same people over and over again, right? So I'm talking about like a Sunnery James and Ryan Marciano. I'm talking about Dimitri Vegas and Like Mike. I'm talking about Matten. I'm talking about not Afrojack, but I am talking about Armin. You know, so there's these names I feel like just are constantly appearing on every single one of their lineups every single year. And I feel like I know that Dimitri Vegas and Like Mike, consequentially, Matten as well, they have a very strong relationship with the organizers of Tomorrowland. I do know that, but I mean, sometimes I think we need a little bit more variety from Tomorrowland. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree. And especially when you have, you know, this is obviously a smaller event than the actual Tomorrowland is, right? Tomorrowland Winter is definitely the smaller version of it. And I would like to see more variety since it is a smaller version, right? It seems a little bit leaning to a couple different types of genres and the same people, as you were saying. I love the fact that they have established relationships with these artists, and I think that's really neat. But at the same time, though, I agree. I think when you have that Tomorrowland brand and you're able to really promote electronic music very far and wide, you know, you should maybe look at saying, okay, let's provide a little bit more diversity in terms of the genre. And I don't know, maybe that was just, you know, maybe there's a lot of DJs, right, Samir, who are kind of like, yeah, they're like, screw that. I don't want to be playing in the cold.
Yeah.
It could be that too. So it may not it be entirely be.
But,
that
you know, I have a feeling that those artists are pretty well taken care of. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't know. I can see them being kind of like you, though. It's like, you just be like, nah, screw the cold. I'm not going to go.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I don't know. I agree with you, though.
One important thing I want to point out here, right, is that actually Tomorrowland Winter is bumping up right against Ultra Music Festival, right? So I'm talking about, you know, well, not even just Ultra Music Festival, but also Miami Music Week as well.
That's
so
true. I didn't think
Ultra
about
Music
that.
Festival starts on the Friday, March 20th, which is also the last day of Tomorrowland Winter, right? So what does that mean for the Ultra Music Festival lineup? Obviously, I think it's a bit too early to start speculating as to who is and who is not. But if there's an artist that's playing on, like, the Friday, March 20th of Tomorrowland Winter, and that includes Dimitri Vegas and Like Mike, Matin, Kungs, WNW, Nervo, right? You know, I have a feeling that these names probably will not be at Ultra. But, you know, even if you go before all the names on March 20th, right? So Tomorrowland Winter starts on Saturday, March 14th, right? Miami Music Week also starts right around that time, probably on the Monday, March 16th, right? So now you have like 6 days worth of acts at Tomorrowland Winter. And, you know, I think it's going to be very hard for some of these acts to kind of also do shows for Miami Music Week or Ultra Music Festival. So we'll see what the cross-pollination looks like between these two events.
Yeah, I a very good point, man. And to be honest, I think we know kind of the answer. I don't know if they'll be able to do anything.
Yeah.
For it, you know, but we'll see. I mean, who knows? DJs pull some pretty crazy stuff, actually. So, I mean, they do
really
some pretty
do.
Crazy things
they really
when they're
do.
On tour. So we'll have to see with that. Very, very well said and great point for that, man. But this is a bit of a shame, kind of having to end off the, you know, the news and culture section with this. But they did provide a pretty good explanation for it. We're going to talk about Noisia. For those of you that don't know who they have been just, for the last really 20 years, they've just been an absolute staple in the drum and bass community, specifically the Neuro Funk style, which is a very kind of, it's a harder style and it's a little bit more modern. I don't really know how to describe Neuro Funk.
Alec, so is it eclectic, you like to say?
He's making fun of me, listeners, because of last week's episode. I just love the word eclectic.
Constantly saying
it's
eclectic,
an amazing word,
yeah,
man. You should really expand your vocabulary to include eclectic.
Eclectic is an eclectic word, yeah.
All right. Well, no, it's fine. It's fine. I get it. You're not a fan of eclectic, you know, vocabulary. Anyhow. This is a real shame because they've been absolute staples, I was saying. You know, I mean, they've had music across labels like Alsa, Mousetrap, Spinning and more, and then they have an amazing Noisia radio show that I know a lot of people tune into very frequently. It's a shame. I think, you know, they didn't really say too much about why they break it up, apart from the fact that it could be just as simple as what they're saying is that just different creative directions they want to go on, and they feel as if they've tackled the neurofunk kind of sound together. And it's three guys, so bear in mind it is tough to kind of keep that together for a long time, and they've been doing it forever, so they provided a lot of great music for people. The one solace that we could take out of this kind of, you know, this breakup is the fact that they aren't going to be officially breaking up until the end of 2020, and they want to do kind of a tour for it. Samir, man, if we can, I'd love to see them because I've never seen them before and I've always wanted to.
Yeah, Alec, I'm actually in the same boat as you, dude. I would totally buy tickets to go see this tour.
Definitely.
It is really sad to see them break up, but, you know, 20 years. You know what I mean? 20 years
of doing the
of
same
doing
type
this
of
together.
Thing. Yeah.
And a very successful career. And guys, look, the EDM scene has changed dramatically as compared to 20 years ago. You know, sounds and tastes, they evolve. I mean, you know, we're all not the same people that we were 20 years ago. You know, I was 5 years old 20 years ago.
Right.
Now I'm definitely not the same person anymore. Jokes aside, it's sad to see this happen, but very happy to see this is an amicable breakup here for Noisia. And, you know, it's going to be cool to see what these guys do, but I'm also very happy that they gave us, like, a heads up. You know what I mean? Like, hey, guys, like, 2020, the year all the way through 2020 is the last time where we're going to be touring together. So if you want to see it, this will be the time to do it. I'm happy that we have, like, over a year of a heads up.
Yeah, exactly, man. You know, and they've been kind of on your point of you know, the amicable breakup and things. I mean, they're quite poetic, actually, and part of the statement, I'll read a bit of it. It's like, Noisia is a game that we've completed. There's very little left for us to explore together. Noisia is a beautifully consolidated shape, and we want to leave Noisia in that shape, rather than keep chiseling at it with the risk of ruining it. A good artist should know when an artwork is finished.
Nice.
I think that's a good way to put things, and I think it's clear that, you know, it's not that they've fallen out necessarily with each other, that, you know, I think in the last few years they've been kind of struggling to keep the originality and the creativity alive between them, you know, and they've probably had their eyes set on looking to explore other, you know, avenues. I'd be very interested to see what they individually do go off to, but that's a story for another time, probably the end of 2020 when they break up. But
yeah,
you know, it's nice to see that this is just, you know, purely up to the fact that, hey, we've done this for the last 20 years, we've done a lot with it, we've done some fantastic things with it, and we don't want to ruin the legacy of Noisia. So I do appreciate that sentiment, and I think it's a very fair enough reason, type of reason, for breaking up something that's just been an absolute staple in the drum and bass scene.
Totally.
Sad, but hopefully we'll be able to see them before they officially call it quits.
Yeah, like Alec, I'm with you, man. We gotta go see them.
Yeah.
We have to.
Really do.
So, yeah. No, we'll keep an eye on their tour dates, and we'll also talk about it on the podcast when that information comes out. Yeah.
My man. All right. Coming off the bat of that, let's see if you can get yourself hyped up to talk about this week's anti-plur moment. Listeners, he's been pretty tight about this one, so I'm excited to hear his rant for you this week. My man, take it away.
All right, listeners. I waited a little bit of time to talk about this one, okay, because I didn't want this situation to be associated with any event, you know what I mean? Like, because it's not on the event, you know, it's not on the artist. I waited some time to talk about this one because I didn't want it to be associated with any event, so just want to put that disclaimer out there, all right? We've talked about this before on the podcast, all right? And I'm sure listeners, some of you guys will know, will be able to echo my sentiment here, but dude, sometimes there are people who just try to dance up on you and they just won't leave you alone, even when you're you know, giving the signals, you know, like kind of pushing them away, shoving them with your elbow, kind of like, you know, boxing them out, even telling them like, yo, you gotta relax, you know what I mean? Just even like going away from them, they'll still follow you around, man. Dude, it's just like, it's so fucking irritating, Alec. Like, I'm trying to dance, I'm trying to have a good time, I don't know what I was doing, what vibe I was doing, or like if this person was on something, if this person would drank too much, but just like straight up dancing right up against me, you know what I mean, like touching me and stuff. It was just, it was very, very uncomfortable, man. Because look, I'm giving off the signals, I'm pushing them away, I'm telling them you gotta chill, like you gotta relax, you know what I mean? I'm going away from them, you know, like it's just like I don't understand how people just have like a lack of self-awareness. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not receptive to it. You know what I mean? I'm not receptive to it. I'm not opening up to this person, nothing, you know, it's just like, but for like a good amount of time, this person would just not leave me alone. It was so annoying, man. It was so annoying. And now I get it. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. Like when other people, you know, male or female, whatever, When other people talk about how, you know, like they had a creeper on them, or like they had somebody who was like following them around or wouldn't leave them alone, I get it now. Like, it's so irritating and it's so annoying and it's very, very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Ugh, I don't know. I tried to not let it like kind of kill my vibe because I was having a really good time still. But it's just like when I think back to that night, when I think back to that event, it was a good time. But then I'm also thinking about the fact that this person was just trying to dance up on me and would not leave me alone.
Yeah, I you know, I know that we've talked about creepers a little bit before on the show, quite a while ago actually, but it's just concerning to me that this type of behavior still continues, and it's not only odd, but it is ruining the vibe, as you said, for people, and it's just very uncomfortable. And I think we do have to be honest here, right, man? Like, you know, we're actually fortunate in this way to be male, and the fact that this doesn't happen as often, right, to men. I will say that. I think it happens, obviously and evidently, but it definitely happens, I think, more to to girls than it does. You know, it, and it's funny that you brought this point up, because I was talking to my girlfriend the other week about it, because we'd gone with one of our friends to a gay nightclub here in San Francisco, and it was a really great time, a great vibe, great place to go. And one of the things that she said that really kind of stuck with me is the fact that she's like, wow, I've never been so comfortable in a club or a bar before.
Whoa.
And I was like, man, that kind of sucks, right? That was the only place that she could kind of like really truly let her guard down, was the fact,
like,
that
out of all the bars and all the clubs that she's been to, yeah, you know what I mean, like, it took her like this long to finally find a space where she felt comfortable letting her guard down.
Right. And it's just sad, because it shouldn't be that way, right? Like, you shouldn't have to go to a club or go to a bar and feel as if, you know, you've got to watch out all the time, and that, you know, people are going to make you feel uncomfortable. And I know that there's could probably be a lot of, you know, women listening to this who will probably, that will resonate with, right? Like, they'll kind of, it's sad, but, you know, there's a part of you which you have to just realize that a few people I've talked to just say they kind of accept that it's going to happen. And that's a horrible thing. And I really don't like that. I really don't like that. And I think it's something that we don't really talk about, right? It's certainly maybe more of a conversation now, but it's not something that we really talk about, and it's something that kind of needs to be fixed. You know, and I don't, again, like, it's just a horrible thing to happen, and no one should be made to feel that uncomfortable, you know. And I think it's horrible that you have to go, if you're a woman, right, if you're a heterosexual female, you have to go to a gay club or bar to feel perfectly comfortable, you know. And I think, yeah, that's kind of a really, it's just a horrible thing to realize, you know. So, and the fact that also, you know, it happened to you, man, too, like, and even when you said it affected you, right? Like, I mean, it's not a pleasant experience, and it's just,
yeah, it's not pleasant at all. And like, I get it, like, I now understand the struggles that, you know, again, male or female, like, I understand the struggles now that comes associated with just, right, kind of unwanted advancements. Yes. You know what I mean? It was just like, it was kind of weird, man. It was uncomfortable, basically. It was just uncomfortable. I'm just really trying to enjoy the music, and I just could not get as into it as much as I wanted to. You know what I mean? The moral of this whole thing is that whether you might be the person doing this or you're on the receiving end, we all just need to be aware of how our actions, and we've talked about this before on the podcast, but we all just need to be more aware of how our actions are coming across to others. You know what I mean? Like, always read those social cues, always read those verbal cues, man. I think that's what it comes down to. Just recognize, you know, if somebody's feeling uncomfortable or is telling you to take a step back or to stop. As you know, I'm a pretty friendly person, just saying, you know, saying hi to everybody. You know what I mean? I'm a pretty friendly person, and, right, like, I'd say hi to the people around me, and I guess this person kind of just saw this as like an open invitation to be persistent with me.
Which, yeah, but that's not your fault, though. I mean,
no, it's not my fault, exactly, and I'm not blaming myself, right? I'm not blaming myself, because I'm not to blame here.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not to blame. It's this person's lack of self-awareness and this person's lack of self-awareness for social and verbal cues and physical cues that led to just a pretty unsavory, uncomfortable experience for me.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, man. I mean, that really sucks. It's something, just the one thing, you know, because I have thought about this before, and we've talked about it a bit before,
yeah,
but I don't really, how do we get around this? How do you stop this type of behavior from happening? I don't really know if there's a clear-cut answer.
Everybody
to
just
it.
Needs to step the fuck up.
Yeah,
man. That's what
that's
it's
true.
About. Everybody needs to step the fuck up, you know, and I hate to be so blunt about it, but, and I'm not saying that, like, somebody should have came to my rescue or whatever. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that if you notice that this behavior is going on, Alec, like you've mentioned, you've had to step in and say something. Everybody should step
yeah.
in and say something
Agreed.
When you see something that just doesn't look right, that looks a bit uncomfortable. You know what I mean? Everybody should be there to look out for each other, man. You know, that's what this community is about, I feel like. One thing I really love about the rave community is that people seem to really look out for each other, and I like that a lot.
Yeah.
But I think that we could do a little bit more for identifying uncomfortable situations when it comes to, like, physical unwanted touching.
I agree with that, man. And, you know, I think I understand that some people might be hesitant to step in or get involved because they feel as if it's not their business. But just being on the receiving end, I know that, you know, I'm sure that you would have felt as if somebody had come and said something, right?
Yeah.
It just, not that you necessarily needed it, but just more knowing the fact that people were trying to look out for a stranger.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Man.
Like, that would have
exactly.
been comforting just to know, you know, because you can certainly handle yourself. It's just, it's not about that, though. It's more about just seeing people, you know, intervene out of good intention and goodwill.
Exactly. Yeah. So, anyways, that was a good discussion though.
Yeah,
that was a good conversation, and I think it's important to have those kinds of conversations.
Agreed.
Listeners, if you guys have stories that you want to share, we're not prompting that you guys must or anything like that. But you know, feel free to reach out to us if you want to keep it private. Keep it private. We're not going to say anything. But you know, just it's good to know that there are other people who may have had very similar situations to what I experienced as well.
Right.
That's all.
Exactly.
I want to say.
And then with
so I'm happy to talk about that with other people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that we're generally there for everyone. Yeah. Agreed.
Exactly, dude. This is very, very exciting that we're moving into this right now. What are we listening to? This is going to be sick. I'm really, really excited for these two pieces of music, Alec.
My man, I couldn't agree with you more. Let's get the hype back up. Let's get the good vibes back up with
Hell yeah.
our What Are We Listening To section. Gorgon City, Griffin, and Aluna George teamed up for the track Baggage. Take it away, man. What do you think about this?
Look, listeners, what's up? We've talked about this before on the show, all right? I don't like lyrics. I just don't like them. All right.
No words.
But no words for me. Anytime Aluna George comes out with something, and just so everybody knows, it's a duo, right? So Aluna is the singer, and I believe the guy's name is George, or it could be his last name, but George is the producer of the duo, right? Anytime Aluna George comes out with something, it's guaranteed to be flawless. I mean, I see Aluna George on a track and I automatically like it. Dude, I'm serious. I love Aluna George.
Wow.
I really, really do. So Aluna George teaming up with Gorgon City and Griffin to have this song Baggage, this was really, really dope, okay? I could see Aluna George in this song. I could see Gorgon City in this song. However, Alec, I feel like we didn't get enough Griffin representation. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I was actually going to bring that up, man. I'm not quite sure where Griffin fit into this. maybe I'm missing something, but I'm not entirely sure where or when or if. I don't know. Maybe he's really good at producing house tracks. I don't know. I'm not sure.
This was really odd. I'm not really too sure where Griffin was in this song. And Alec, you already said it. It's a house song. You know, Griffin's not known for doing house music. So this was interesting. But I still think that we had great signature Aluna George style, man. Really
yes.
just flawless. Absolutely flawless. And Gorgon City, you already know. They're so talented. And they just produce absolutely massive four to the floor beats, some great house music. Griffin, I'm confused by it because Griffin's known for really, really great soundscapes though. He's known for good soundscapes and good sound design, but I feel like if you take Griffin out of this equation, I still think the song would sound the same. Gorgon City and Aluna George, yeah, I still think it'd sound the same.
Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe I'm hoping we're wrong and there's something big we're missing here, but I can't really
yeah.
think of it. You know, I really can't.
But this is still a good song. I still really, really enjoyed this song a lot.
Definitely.
And we'll give our thoughts and our rating on it in a little bit. But Alec, tell me about this next one, man.
Man, all right. We are going to Side Piece. That's a funny name, by the way. All one word.
I love that name.
That's a funny name. Wanna See You. But, man, you were telling me, so who is Side Piece? I had no idea until you told me who this is.
Alec, I know you're jealous that you're not going to be able to see the Higher Ground Showcase out here in New York, but let me blow your freaking mind, all right? So Side Piece is Nitty Gritty, who is known for doing house music. You know, he just had like a 4-track EP on Confession label. And, you guys ready for this? Party Favor. Nitty Gritty and Party Favor coming out with a house song. It's called Wanna See You for their new project, Side Piece. The reason why I'm bringing up the Diplo Higher Ground Party is because actually these guys are going to be playing for the first time as Side Piece at this party today at the Brooklyn Mirage. So, you know, their set is at like 6 p.m. I want to say. So that's like, I'm trying to get there for that set. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah, man.
It's going to be insane. But dude, I was not expecting this, you know, when I read that Side Piece was Nitty Gritty and Party Favor. Nitty Gritty, I could see. Nitty Gritty has done four to the floor beats. He just released an EP on Confessions label. But Party Favor? This was interesting.
Yeah. I mean, this is a side to him that we haven't really seen before, I feel like, right? Like, it's just completely, it's different. And I'm glad to see that he's exploring, you know, his house alter ego with this is really cool.
I like it.
I love it, man.
I really like this song a lot too.
I bet they're funny as hell together too, by the way. I mean, I know they're both personalities, so I feel like they'd be quite funny together as well, clearly evident by the name too.
Yeah. Oh no, this is such a funny name, man. I'm really, really looking forward to their set today. But Wanna See You, great house song. I mean, this is a really, really great way to kind of make a splash onto the scene, if you guys know what I mean. You know what I mean? Just kind of introducing the new project that these guys have coming out. It's got a great vocal sample to it. It's got a great kick to it, a great bass line. The whole thing really comes together quite nicely from these two.
I agree, man. I couldn't agree more. I really loved this track. This is one of my favorite, I can't say my favorite release from either one of them because this is different, but it's just, this is an awesome track, and I'm glad to see that Party Favors exploring his house alter ego, and as well as Nitty Gritty. Like, that's just great. It just shows how diverse of a talent he is, and probably even both of they are. So this is great. I'm really looking forward to see, you know, what their sets could be like, man. So please tell me about how it goes.
I definitely will. But all right, listeners, I think we should get into rating these tracks.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, listeners, here on Beyond the Beats, we have our own unique rating scale. You know, returning listeners, you guys already know this part, so feel free to skip ahead a little bit. And new listeners, welcome. We have a unique rating scale here on Beyond the Beats, and it's levels 1 through 5. And level 1 is, you know, the lowest level that we usually give to tracks, and level 5 is the highest. So starting from level 1, we call it one listen. It's basically where Alec and I will pick up a piece of music and we'll talk about it, you know, but that's probably going to be the only time that we really listen to this piece. And, you know, we're encouraging you guys to at least give the track one listen. Level 2 is called background noise, and it's pretty self-explanatory, but, you know, if a song comes on in the background, you're not going to really make much of an effort to change it. You know, you don't really care if it's there. You might be doing other things, and it's whatever. It's just, it's there in the background to keep you company. Level 3 is what we call turn it up. It's when a song comes on and it propels you to grab the volume knob and crank it up, blast it out loud. And level 4 is what we call just bought tickets. It's when you hear a piece of music and it propels you to want to, you know, look up the tour dates for an artist that you were listening to and try to find out when they're coming to your city next, because you just got to hear them live. You just got to hear more. At level 5 is speechless. It's when you hear a piece of music and it's just you and the tune, and that's all that matters. Everything else fades away. So just to reiterate real quick, level 1 is one listen, level 2 is background noise, level 3 is turn it up, level 4 is just bought tickets, and level 5 is speechless. Alec.
Yes, sir.
Gorgon City, Aluna George with the song Baggage. Oh, wait, sorry. Griffin 2 with the song Baggage.
Was that on purpose?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
What'd you think?
Okay. I'm going to give it a level 4 out of 5 just bought tickets. I really like this track.
Very nice.
And I agree with you, man, that Aluna George, just, you know, whatever they touched is really just, it's fantastic stuff. I mean, you know, we've talked about Aluna George a little bit before, but they were a great addition to this. Griffin, my man, I don't know where you are in this, but if you did something, you did something right, I can tell you that. And, you know, of course, Gorgon City, just classic sound from them, the house. I love the track. How about you?
I'm really hung up on this Griffin thing, dude. It's bothering me more than
why is it bothering
it should, you? I feel like, I don't know why, it's just like, it's bothering me so much. I just cannot understand what Griffin did on this song, and it's just really pissing me off right now. I'm gonna give this a level 3 out of 5, turn it up, okay? Because,
nice.
Look, really, really, really like this song a lot, okay? I mean, seriously, as soon as the song came on and it started to kick, I was just like, all right, I need to turn this volume knob way up, right? But I don't know, man. It's just, it's not there. It's not enough for me to want to say, like, okay, I need to go buy tickets to go see. Like, I think the problem is, like, Griffin's throwing me off. I don't know why. It's just, he's throwing me off so much on this. Like, I can't be like, okay, this song's making me want to go see Griffin live. You know what I mean? Like, I need to buy tickets to go see him live. However, this was Gorgon City and Aluna George. I think I'd give it a just bought tickets because I do want to see both of them, because I can understand what both of them did, because I know their styles and I know how they are. But Griffin is throwing me off on this, and I just don't understand what his name and his addition did to it. So I'm going to give this a level 3 out of 5, turn it up.
Man, that's pretty harsh to downgrade it because you just don't know what one of them did for it. I don't know about that, man. I don't know about that. I think it's a bit harsh.
I don't mean to be harsh. It's just, I'm at a loss. I don't like when artists seem to be on something, but they maybe didn't contribute as much as, like, other artists did. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's just my opinion, though. That's just how
I get it, man. That's just, wow, okay. Coming in for the jugular there, man. Griffin, you better say what you did real
there
quick.
There are no gifts on this
no
show.
No gifts,
yeah.
I could tell. Jeez, man. All right, well, moving on from that, side piece with Wanna See You. Samir, what are you going to give this? You could be a little bit less harsh with this one?
I want to see you on the dance floor, baby. We're going to buy some tickets, or at least I'm buying tickets for side pieces. Want to see you. And guys, lo and behold, I already bought tickets. Like, I'm going to go see you in like about an hour
that's
and
a true
half.
Rating so, there. Got, true rating there.
Yeah, that's a true rating. Yeah, that is a true rating. And actually, I bought those tickets before I even knew who side piece was. So
wow, well, there you go.
First of all, this is just giving me a lot of hope for this project. I'm really, really into this project. And I'm really just happy to see Party Favor on this, man. Like, it's just so cool to see Party Favor doing some other things besides trap.
Yeah,
so
really cool. I agree.
That's how artists grow, and this is a level 4 out of 5 just bought tickets. Alec, what'd you think?
Same here, man. Right on board with you. I'd buy tickets to be out there in a jippy if I could. Level 4 out of 5 Give it, but just bought tickets. Great,
right on.
Great track from them. Love the house from Party Favor. Love it. Revel in it. And I love that with Nitty Gritty too. So
right on.
Shout out to them both for coming and making a true side piece. Hey, there you go. You know, with the Wanna See You track. Great release from them. Listeners will have the links in our show notes. You can check it out yourself and see if you also would give this a just bought tickets. Right, man. We're getting close to the end of this episode, and it would not be fitting to do it without the artists we're watching section. My man, who wants to take it away?
Is it cool if I start us off?
Yeah.
All right. Let me introduce you guys to Freyer from Rome, Italy. Okay, this guy is a nutcase. All right. he's already had, and I mean that in the nicest way.
Yeah, I was about to say, like,
I'm going to message you. Yeah. No, I mean that in the nicest way. Your music is absolutely nutty, dude. Okay. Let me just start by saying this guy has already released songs on Gold Digger Records, Noir Cell Blanc, Alex, one of Alex's favorite labels.
Them. I do love
House Views, Two Dutch, Playbox. All right. I mean, seriously, this guy has some pretty killer house music, right? I'm going house this week, guys, just so everybody knows, right? Okay, but I need to introduce you to this song, Consequence. It's gonna, listeners, if you don't listen to this song, you're gonna be facing massive consequences. All right, take a listen to Freyer's song, Consequence.
Love this, man. I love the house selection for this week, and wow, man, thank you so much for introducing me to Freyer. This is a great, great track. How'd you come across him?
Dude, I don't even know. You know, sometimes I'll go into like the SoundCloud profiles of artists that I really enjoy, and then like I'll look at who they're following, because, you know, sometimes they're following smaller artists, and, you know, I stumbled across Freyer. I think I was actually mining through Odd Mob SoundCloud, you know what I mean, because he's got good taste, and I was able to find Freyer, and, you know, he follows Freyer, and this is really, really great, man. I really like the drop. I really like the smooth bass line in here, dude. You know what I mean? I like this taste of house music that Freyer is presenting to us, right? Let me give you guys some statistics over here, right? The guy has 2,300 followers on SoundCloud, all right? So his base is growing, but you guys need to head over to SoundCloud, give him a follow as well. What was surprising to me is that he actually has 10,500 followers on Instagram.
Nice.
So, you know, I'm wondering if, like, maybe in a past life he was doing something else, and, you know, then he got into producing music, but he already had a little bit of a following on Instagram. Really not too sure. Would love to do some more research as to how this guy has garnered such a massive following. But you know what? Freyer from Rome, Italy, you are my artist that I'm watching, and I cannot wait to see what you do next.
Love it, man. Again, thank you so much for introducing me to Freyer, and I'm sure our listeners also appreciate it. Some fantastic house. But I'll tell you what, man, I'm going to continue the house trend. Take a listen. Just feel the vibe from Clank. Yes, I'm featuring Clank. I have no idea how, man, what the fuck, but you've only somehow got 8,300 monthly listeners on Spotify and only 7,000 on SoundCloud. You deserve way, way more than that. Tenet, double it, whatever the fuck you want to do, you've got to get more followers, man, because this guy is an absolute monster. You can hear him building up in the background. He's done a great, fantastic, amazing, crazy flip for Eliminate Them featuring Virus Syndicate. Take a listen. You're going to love this drop. I told him before I eliminate.
Yes.
Yes.
This is everything I wanted in a flip of this song. First of all, Alec, you know how much I love this song, right? I mean, I'm so obsessed with this track. I can't even begin to tell you how much I love the original of this song. But man, oh man, did Clank do a crazy flip on this one. Everything about this song, right? Even the original and this flip, I fucking love it, man. And I really like Clank's take on how he wanted to present Them by Eliminate. How'd you come across Clank?
So I came across him because, I mean, this guy, despite his relatively low number of followers, right? I mean, versus just the quality of his music, he's had some big releases, man. I mean, on some pretty, I mean, some top tier quality labels. He's been on Jaws's Bite This, right? He's been on Gold Digger and Nightbase too. Right, he's a fantastic track called Dimensions. I'll put this into since I'm shouting it out. But Dimensions is probably his biggest track. And he put that on Nightbase on their freshman edition to it. And, you know, he's also, there's a I Got and then Keep It Down is another two other tracks that he put on that EP he released on Nightbase. But he, you know, he's a real deal, man. Like, this isn't like, this is somebody who's got a very mature sound, you know, versus his following. And he goes from, you know, he could play bass line and he does bass house to house. He does absolutely everything, man. I mean, I'm seriously, nice. This is someone I'm very, very hyped about. You know, so this is, it's just unbelievable. He needs to have more people follow. I don't know how, to be perfectly honest. I don't know how, just with the quality of his tracks and the fact that he's been on Nightbase and Bite This, it's only a matter of time before he blows up, right? Like, I don't think it's anything, you know, his fault. As much as it is, it just sometimes it just takes a little bit. But I tell you what, he's going to absolutely blow up, and it's going to happen any moment. It's going to happen real soon. I can feel it. You know, and get back to your question, the way I found him actually was because he's done a fantastic remix of Marla's Bling Bling, and that's how I came across
it. Oh, cool.
Yeah, fantastic remix. Again, I'll put that in the show notes since I mentioned it here on air. But, you know, there's not too much, I don't really know too much about him. I know he's, I think he's from Detroit, and he's also based out of LA, where he goes in between. He has on a SoundCloud that he's in LA and Detroit. So he's quite secretive about it. He doesn't have, like, a, you know, no face on his cover photo or anything like that. But it's just, it's amazing, man. I mean, he's really got some fantastic house talent, so I'm really psyched to see what he does. And definitely, if he's ever around, I mean, like, if you listen to this, I mean, man, wherever you are, just let us know. I'll come see it. Like, this is awesome. I can't wait,
dude. Nice. Yeah, I'm really, really stoked on this passion, man. And you picked such a great artist. We both picked great artists this week, man. And really, really happy that you introduced our listeners to Clank, and you introduced me to Clank as well. I'm really psyched on this.
Excellent, man. I'm glad to hear it.
All right, dude. I think that wraps it up, man. I gotta get jetting, dude. I got Diplo to see. I got
rubbing
Thug
it
Fucker
in.
To
yeah,
see,
again.
You know,
Boston.
I got
Boston. Boston.
I know. I hate to be like that, man. I mean, Golf Clap, Side Piece, you know, LP, Gob, Huxley, Walker and Royce. I got a bunch of people to see.
Man.
So, guys,
enjoy.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much for joining us for episode 32. And we will see you guys next week. Peace.